from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so preseason football, the weekend kicked off last night. Week 2 of the preseason. Week 3 for the Texans, week 2 for everybody else but the Bears. The Patriots and the Eagles last night. Ramondre Stevenson is the starting tailback for the New England Patriots. He was doing an interview on the sidelines during the game with Steve Burton, who I guess is the sideline reporter for the preseason games for the New England Patriots. And he asked him, this is where the lesson here, kids, if you're going to be a sideline reporter, goes back to something we were talking about before, Seth, a little bit, specificity. Okay, specificity. If you're asking a player about somebody, I would say don't use pronouns or don't use vague nouns like the guy that just left.
Yeah.
Use names. Use names because then this will not happen.
I got to ask you about the guy who just left. How much are they going to miss him? And who's going to step up in his place?
Yeah, I miss Bill. That was one of my favorite coaches. But, you know, Mayo, he's a great leader. He knows what he's doing with us. And, yeah, I'm excited for Mayo. And I think we can get it done with him.
I wasn't talking about Mayo. You're talking about your defensive teammate.
Oh, dude.
He's moving on to better places?
Yeah. Excited.
He's a different place.
Sure, a different place. Excited for him. You know, I still know he has a couple more years in him, so I'm excited for him.
Right. But yeah. This defense is stepping up.
Yeah, defense is doing great.
Dude, he's just trying to bait him into moving on to better places.
Hey, dude.
Man, I'll tell you what, too. The way he phrased it, I wasn't talking about him. I didn't see it. Maybe the visual was more like, that's on me. That made it almost seem like Ramondre Stevenson, should have known. Oh, no, you should have known that I was talking about Matt Judon.
Yeah.
Go ahead and spell it out, man. Multiple people leave. Yeah.
Especially New England of late. They've had a lot of guys leave.
Yeah, that would have been if Ramondre Stevenson had been like, which guy that's left already? People are running out of this place like it's a burning building.
Can you imagine if Ramondre Stevenson's like, it's a shame. I didn't really get a chance to play with Tom Brady, but
I really appreciated everything Nick Caserio did for the organization, but I don't think maybe he was involved with scouting me at one point. I don't know.
How about Steve Burton catching himself? He's on to a better place. I mean, a different place.
and he's working for the team.
Yeah, that's what people need to know. Right, the preseason broadcast. That would have been like, who's doing sidelines for the Texans? Shelby is doing it now. Young lady Shelby. Drew Doherty used to do it. That would be like on the Texans broadcast, like back in the David Culley year. Like, Mark Ingram went on to a better place. You know, like.
There's the running back for the Eagles. Kenneth Gainwell, I think. He had some impressive runs last night.
Did you watch some? I didn't get to see any of them.
I watched a little bit of it. Yeah, it was there was some good action there. The you know, the biggest thing was a couple of the Eagles defenders from last year's draft, Nolan Smith, and then the linebacker there, the little guy.
N'Kobe Dean,
the two guys from Georgia.
Yeah.
They both showed up. Like, they were flying around all over the place. I don't think a whole lot of starters were playing.
Okay.
But I'm interested in the Eagles this year. I mean, they've got an interesting story in terms of just collapsing completely at the end of last season. You bring in a new offensive coordinator to work with Jalen Hurts. You bring in a new defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio. And, like, they still obviously have a lot of talent on the roster. But this drama between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, allegedly, is fascinating.
They have, to me, Seth, the Eagles have the biggest window. We talked earlier in the show about best case, worst case, ceiling and floor for teams. The Eagles have I don't know what the article that we were using for that had for the Eagles. We were just focused in on the Texans. They, to me, have the biggest window of, like, the best they could do and the worst they could do that doesn't involve an injury to the quarterback. Like,
right,
a healthy
right.
Jalen Hurts. Like, they could get back to the Super Bowl. They're that talented. Or Nick Sirianni could be fired by week 10. You know, like, it could go either way.
Yeah. And, like, Vic Fangio, too, like, he's a really, really good defensive coordinator. But sometimes if he doesn't have the right kind of, composition on his defense, and if he doesn't have guys that really buy into it, sometimes guys rankle against a lot of the stuff he wants to do because it's pretty complex. And some guys are like, no, I just want to go play football, man. So it's there's no way to handicap it for me without knowing the personalities of the Eagles' defense, whether they'll take to Vic's defense immediately or if they're like some of the guys on the Dolphins did kind of bristle against it.
That's what I was just going to say. The Dolphins, they revolted last year on Vic Fangio. So there's some games this weekend. Texans play on Saturday. We won't get to watch some of these games. So I'm going to skip down to the ones that actually are not taking place while the Texans are playing. The CBS is giving reasons to watch each of these games. So I want Seth to, you tell me if these are big enough reasons for you to take time out of your Saturday and Sunday to watch these games. The Lions and the Chiefs, the biggest reason they give to watch this game, the Chiefs wide receivers, who are now lacking Hollywood Brown in that room, and now there's rumors of trade chatter when it comes to the Chiefs.
The Lions and the Chiefs, just the trade chatter?
Just the reason to watch the game. Is that enough for you to tune? Is this enough for you to watch the game, to tune in and watch a game like the Chiefs? They're giving a reason to watch each of these games, and the reason,
right.
Yeah, Chiefs wide receivers is what it says.
Right. And you're bringing up the trades that they might be trading for somebody.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because the Texans have been mentioned in that.
Yeah.
So yes, that is enough reason, and also just I'd like to see what the Chiefs look like. They spent a lot in free agency. They were not the best regular season team last year, but then they astroed their way in the playoffs to being a different version of themselves. And so, there's also a good chance, like it happens with many great quarterbacks with new pieces around them, that the offense isn't really good at first, and people look at it as, oh, this is the demise. This is the demise, finally, of the Chiefs. I hope we see that. Even though I won't buy into it, I hope they have that kind of drama.
I feel like we've said that a few times these past few years, and every time we do it, I'm like, God, this feels really familiar. Oh, yeah, this is what we did with the Patriots for, like, 6 years in a row.
Yeah.
When they would start out 2-2. Like, Tom Brady's last season happened, like, 6 times in New England. Well, this will be it for Brady. And then not only does he win a few more Super Bowls, he goes and wins one for Tampa Bay. Minnesota at Cleveland. Sam Darnold as QB1.
Yes. Yes. This is 100% a good reason to watch.
Well, especially because the Texans play the Vikings in week 3.
Mm-hmm.
A little scouting.
And supposedly
report.
The Vikings offense didn't look so hot versus the Browns defense this year. And so Sam Darnold somebody earlier pointed out Sam Darnold has good stats against the Texans. Good for him. Good for him. That's fantastic. That's great. I don't care, obviously. He's not a good quarterback. People keep trying to – everybody – and you know my rule. Once you've had a chance with Kyle Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan hasn't gotten anything out of you, then that's it. Like, oh, you think you're Kyle Shanahan? Oh, you're going to be the guy that turns around Sam Darnold when Kyle Shanahan wasn't able to do it? No, thank you.
Yeah.
He's a smattering of a highlight reel, and that's it.
This is who I'll point this out to those people. The first, he's played them twice, if my memory bank serves me correct. One was in his rookie year. They played a Saturday night game late in the season when he was with the Jets, and the Texans won that game. That was the year in 2018 where the Texans won all those close games. They had that nine-game winning streak where their combined differential over those nine games was like 9 points.
Yeah, you know? they were upset that they weren't being acknowledged.
Yeah,
for a glorious win streak. You're like, you walked ass backwards into a couple of those wins.
Dude, missed field goals and murdering Alex Smith's leg and all those things. The other one was the Culley year. Early in the season when Darnold was the Panthers quarterback and they played a Thursday night game in like week three.
Yeah.
That doesn't count, okay? Nothing that happened in the David Culley season counts or matters for purposes of analyzing this Texans team or anybody that went against that Texans team in 2021.
Yeah, the only time I care about it is when it becomes a recurring theme and that the guy actually wins the game like based on his own play.
Yeah.
Like Jacoby Brissett, there's something, even though it's different defensive coordinators, different players, all that, I succumb to it then.
Yeah.
When it's a specific quarterback, especially, that's just a slayer of that. Probably the way the Bengals feel about TJ Yates.
Yes.
They'd rather face a young and healthy Aaron Rodgers than TJ Yates in the playoffs.
Yeah. Bring up Jacoby Brissett, then we'll get scared, okay? Okay, I'm going to cherry pick this one because I think this actually is a reason that you'll watch this game on Saturday night. Arizona Cardinals at Indianapolis Colts. Leiatu Latu building off a strong preseason opener in week one of the preseason.
Yeah. Yeah, so Leiatu Latu he had a good game versus Garrett Bowles, the starter for the Broncos. Good, solid NFL tackle. He wasn't doing it versus backups. He only had a smattering of snaps, but he did some really good things in that game. And people are gushing about how great he's looked during camp and everything. I've been a little bit skeptical of just how good Leiatu will be in the NFL because he's not. He's very polished. But he's not all that physically gifted.
He's not a freak.
He's not,
a lot of the guys in this position are freaks.
He's kind of average by athletically by a lot of edge rusher standards.
Yep.
But I respect how hard he's worked at having this arsenal of pass rush moves. I think people are going to get really worked up about him. And when Laremy Tunsil faces him, I think Laremy Tunsil will shut him down and give him his welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah.
It's because all the things that Leiatu is good at, Tunsil is equally as good, except he's got the benefit of almost a decade of NFL experience.
Correct.
And so like the hand fighting and all of that, I think Tunsil will shut him down. I mean, Tunsil as a pass protector is very, very elite. The run game is where I'd be nervous. I thought that Leiatu in this last game actually showed more power than I'd seen out of him in college, and he's capable of playing pretty well against the run. That's where I don't want Laremy Tunsil to have an awesome game pass blocking versus him, but then Leiatu ends up having like seven tackles in the run game.
Two TFLs, and then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The person writing this article points out, I mean, yeah, Leiatu. Just in a vacuum watching Leiatu, I'm excited to do that just because we got to see him twice a season now for the next several years. In this game, he'll be going against Paris Johnson, who was a sixth overall pick last year. Like, that's a fun matchup of two young guys, you know?
Will Anderson took Paris Johnson to the woodshed.
He did. He did. Properly. Yeah, last year. He sure did.
Will Anderson did me right. So that was cool to see because that was, you know, hell. Yeah, I can't believe the Cardinals bilked the Texans out of their own pick, et cetera, et cetera. So that was cool to see.
Yeah.
But also, Will Anderson last year beating up on Trevor Penning when the Texans played the Saints. So Trevor Penning was the offensive tackle that had been talking about, like, tried to play the tough guy during the pre-draft process. Well, just not actually being good at football. And then he's just been atrocious for the Saints. He's been god-awful, and he's getting worse. But he had all these sound bites about him, like, what I love about football is that I get to legally assault people.
Yeah.
He got in fights in training camp, and it was never because he was any good. And the Saints were such idiots for drafting. They fell for it. Like, at the Senior Bowl, Trevor Penning was getting his ass kicked, destroyed. But after he got his ass kicked, he'd try to fight the guy. And people bought it. They're like, look at how tough he is. Wow, this guy's just old school. And I'm watching it. I'm like, he's awful. He wasn't even good in the MAC. He's getting beat up by tiny people in the MAC. Like, what the hell are you talking about? And the Saints bought it. They fell for it.
Yeah.
They idiotically drafted him in the first round, and now he sucks.
You've seen like the 2-minute cut up of him from that Cardinal. I think
yeah, it looked exactly like the Texans game last year. He's a turnstile.
Like this is the it was
he's
the first,
an obese turnstile.
It's you know how hard it is to get a 2-minute non-sizzle reel in a preseason game as a starter? Like,
oh, yeah. That's
you know
a
what
good
I mean?
Point.
To have that many bad plays in the preseason?
You're not facing that many blitzes or anything?
Yeah. You're just not in the game that long.
He reminds me of Tony Mandarich when he went off the sauce.
Yeah.
Like, Tony Mandarich was...
That was depressing. He lost all his hair, and he looked like just some dude in a beer softball league. Yeah. Yeah.
He deflated.
He did.
Over the course of one season, he just deflated.
That Sports Illustrated cover back then is retroactively one of the funniest things ever. Like
that was when, I want to say that was when they weren't testing for steroids in college. And there was like a little 2-year lag period, but they were in the NFL. And I played with a guy who had been way back then, was playing back in the day in the same draft class. And he said that he'd never seen such a hideous transformation in 1 year because he had seen him at the combine or something and you're like, holy crap, what the hell is this thing? And then 1 year later, he's just a dimply butted fool.
I'm looking
at what Trevor Penning is now, a dimple butted
fool. He's a dimply butted fool. Fool. I'm looking at the Sports Illustrated cover from April 24th, 1989.
The incredible bulk.
And he is a monster. And then a mere couple years later, the incredible bust, and his hairline is receding, and he's got his face on his hand, just his elbow on his knee at training camp, just looking kind of like John Mara dreaming about Saquon Barkley or Henry Toa Toa getting impersonated by Aziz Alshire, just mopey.
Yeah.
There's a couple others on here. Games of this weekend. I'm going to cherry pick one for myself that I'm looking forward to for the exact reason that the writer cites here, which is the New York Jets at the Carolina Panthers. Is Bryce Young going to get preseason snaps? How about Bryce Young getting held out of the first preseason game?
Bryce Young just is too... Like he can only gain so much from playing in the preseason. How do you build on a year like last year?
5.5 yards per attempt. 5.5.
Why would we risk what we already have in this precious gem of a quarterback?
Oh, my God. Why is this a question? Is Bryce Young getting preseason snaps? How is he not? He's awful. Like he's a second year guy. He's a second year guy who I don't even know how much knowledge he gained in his rookie year because he had three different coaches and he had you know.
Yeah, he's got and now he's got a new head coach,
new system,
a new coordinator, I don't know.
All right,
he's the chosen one, Sean.
He is the chosen one, I guess. All right, hey. Texans wide receiver chart. There is an expert, an NFL expert, who calls it the deepest one in the league and lists a bunch of teams that should be calling Nick Caserio. If you were a GM for one of those teams, which guy would you be calling about right now on the Texans if you were looking to cherry pick somebody from this team? We'll talk about that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I wish Trevor Penning went to the Colts just so I could hear Seth rant about him twice a year. Nut in Clear Lake just sent that in. Seth will rant about Trevor Penning. He doesn't need to be in the AFC South. I wish he were in the AFC South. That would be fantastic if he were playing right tackle for any of those.
It would be awesome.
Teams.
Just even for my ranting aside, it would be awesome because it would be two times the feast per year.
Yes. Yes.
It would be basically Will Anderson and people arguing about whether he should be all pro or not. And people would be like, well, yeah, but he gets to go against Trevor Penning twice a year.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, I know. But hey, that's the way it works. That's how it works. Back in the day, you know, all the great ones have their little whipping boy.
Dude,
and
JJ,
that would be Trevor Penning.
JJ Watt feasted on this division for years.
Yeah,
like JJ's prime was right when all the, other than Indianapolis, because Andrew Luck was around, like Tennessee and Jacksonville were trash when JJ was winning those awards, man.
It helped too that there was a stretch of like two Jaguars coaches in a row, I can't remember which ones, that decided to leave bad offensive tackles alone on JJ. It was so weird because you'd go and you play. Remember JJ when he was wearing a club on his hand? Because he'd broken his hand or his wrist or something.
Yeah, 2015.
And they played the Patriots. And, like, J.J. clearly wasn't himself because of that club on his hand. Yeah. But the Patriots still put six hands on him every play in the first half. They were like, nope, we're not gonna mess around with it. We're going to take care of the greatest threat. That's what Belichick was awesome sometimes with his simplicity, where he would just like, no, we're going to address the greatest threat on the other team, exploit Always. Their biggest weakness, and figure out a way to do it. And then you'd go, so you'd do that against the Patriots, and then you'd go play the Jags, and the Jags were like, we're gonna see how. They had that really bad offensive tackle there. Yeah.
The Jags, JJ won his three Defensive Player of the Year awards in 2012, 2014, and 2015. In 2012, that was the 1 year tenure of Mike Mularkey in Jacksonville. But the one you're definitely thinking of, Seth, because he was the coach in 2013, 14, and 15, would have been. Is it Gus Bradley? Gus
Probably.
Bradley. Yeah, last name Bradley. It's Gus Bradley, right?
And it was because it was, what year was Bradley?
2013 through 15.
Because it was Luke Jokel. Luke Jokel was the offensive tackle who ended up being a bust.
Giggum.
And like they were like, yeah, let's put our bad rookie tackle one-on-one with J.J. Watt. Dude. Because that way we'll be able to more receivers on routes. So our...
Jokel was our number two overall pick.
Tear him up.
He was a number two overall pick. So Sigmund Bloom... who is, he's kind of like a fantasy football, you know, he lives in that world as far as NFL experts go, tweeted this yesterday. Texans definitely have the best seven deep wide receiver depth chart. A good team for Minnesota, Detroit, Philadelphia, or Washington to call. That's what he tweeted. And I obviously called to try to make a deal of some sort. And I'm curious. And those are interesting teams because I look at all those teams. Well, maybe not Washington as much, but well, Washington's got a pretty good receiver room with Terry McLaurin there and the Dotson kid. Well, but like Minnesota, yeah. Detroit, and Philadelphia have good wide receiver rooms.
Well, I think probably what they're thinking is the rationale might be a guy like Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Is like he's not your number one X receiver or anything like that. He's not going to be the biggest receiving threat, but he's really good underneath. He has a feel for, you know, where like good route running, understanding the timing of the rhythm of the offense. So he's a really good complementary piece.
Might be a good three or four.
Yeah. Likewise with Noah Brown, same thing. Like, okay. A.J. Brown's going to create a whole lot of headaches for the defense. And meanwhile, Noah Brown, we saw that last year. Even when Tank Dell was injured, you know, Noah Brown has a good feel for where to get into the soft spots of the defense. So that's the guys we're talking about. We're talking about Robert Woods, Noah Brown, Xavier Hutchinson, I think are your most tradable assets right now.
Yeah.
And they've shown what they can do as a complementary piece.
If you,
Robert Woods, you know, like that's where Robert Woods is in his career. He's a complementary piece.
Yeah, Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, John Metchie, Ben Skowronek is in that room.
I don't put John Metchie onto those teams.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they look at him as a proven, dependable receiver.
Metchie would be like a Carolina or something like
that. Yeah, like where they want to maybe swing on some upside. Yeah. This isn't the year that we're pushing for a Super Bowl victory or anything, but we like his upside.
Yeah.
I think that's where John Metchie ends up going.
If you
if I'm a good team, if I'm Minnesota, Detroit, Philadelphia, or whatever Washington is, like with their wide receivers, I would say, give me Xavier Hutchinson or Noah Brown before John Metchie.
Or Robert Woods.
Yeah, or Robert Woods, too, because obviously. Yeah. He's not a developmental.
Who would you call if you were a GM of one of those teams? And that's, you know, if you view all those guys as being sort of objects in the same aisle, so to speak, at the grocery store, who's your preference? Does it depend on the team, or do you like one of those guys in particular, regardless of the situation?
I think Xavier Hutchinson because of his age.
Yeah.
You know, and just still the upside of, okay, him being in an offense with a lot of other guys around him consistently that maybe we can get the most out of him.
Yeah. It's a big. I'm excited to see these receivers on Saturday, man. To see them tomorrow, it's a big position battle for this team.
And this is the Giants are going to play their starters probably for the whole first half.
Yeah.
So this is close as we get to old school preseason football when you know you could see your starters out there for a full half or so. I don't know what do you think happens if CJ Stroud has. If the first two drives go really well, do you think they keep him out there?
You're reading my mind. I was about to ask you the same thing. How much do you want to see CJ Stroud tomorrow? If they get two touchdown drives on the first two drives of the game, the Texans, take him out. I don't need to see any more, you know?
I think I wonder how much Daniel Jones ends up playing. Because, I mean, even as we saw Joe Shane openly saying, the GM of the Giants openly saying on Hard Knocks, is that they've got to figure out what they have in this quarterback. That I paid myself.
Yeah.
That's the whole funny thing about that whole series. It's like, that's a big honking object that you're not talking about. It's like, yeah, dude, you're the guy telling me we have to figure out what we have in Daniel Jones. You paid Daniel Jones. And now we're getting around to when we're going to figure out what we have with him. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. It's.
I got a credit to Joe Shane, man. I don't know how hard it is to pull the wool over John Mara's eyes, the owner, but he's doing a good job of doing it, man. He's doing a good job of doing it.
Where were we at with Saquon? Where were we at?
Ben, can you play the John Mara audio?
Yeah, find that, Ben. Yeah, well,
you don't have to do it right this
moment. Ben had it just pulled up.
Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm.
Which I don't know if I'll make a couple of calls. I don't even know if that's gonna happen, but.
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that, as I've told you, just being out. I have been around enough players. But he's the most popular player we have by far.
Yeah.
Because you should make decisions based on the popularity of the player.
How many voicemails does Joe Shane have? From John Mara at 3 a.m. I just want you to know I'm not sleeping well. I told you I wouldn't sleep well. I can't even take any of my afternoon naps anymore. I tried to take my afternoon siesta. That's what my wife calls them. And I couldn't do it.
Just wanted you to know. I told you this is what would happen.
Man, yeah, I tried a little bit. I was, you know, I thought I was doing good a little bit.
Okay, that's...
Who's that?
That's Aziz Alshire. That's Aziz Alshire impersonating Henry Toa Toa. Okay, Ben, let's do the tail of the tape here. Okay, just play a lick, just a little snippet of Mara at the beginning of that cut.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
Now Toa Toa.
Man, yeah, I tried a little bit. I was, you know, I thought I was doing good a little bit.
Okay, now I need
That's
Aziz.
That's Nixon impersonating Toa Toa.
No, it's Aziz Alshire.
Or Alshire impersonating Toa Toa.
Impersonating Toa Toa. Yeah. Now I need Aziz Alshire to impersonate John Mara. Oh, that's
so
good.
Everybody, I read all these studies about how important sleep is. It's just health is wealth, as they say. And I've been sleepless in New Jersey this whole time.
If that were your owner, man. If that were your owner. I think you might have seen Mixon's name here in a text on the text page, is why he was on your brain. Said,
don't make any excuses for me, Sean.
Just tuned in.
I botched it.
Just tuned in, fellas. Did you guys touch on Mixon being ranked the number 27 running back in the NFL? I don't know who's – you got to tell us whose rankings that is. It's like looking over our shoulder because there are rankings that I've had in the rundown from NFL.com the last couple days that we didn't get to. But Mixon is rated 21st by Maurice Jones-Drew, actually. Okay, well, if you're looking to hate Maurice Jones-Drew, Texan fans, 21st for Mixon. And yet I look at this list and I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of good running backs right now in the league.
A lot of good running backs in the league these days.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating because you can't do a damn thing with any of them.
Right.
None of them are going to get paid.
Yeah.
None of them can be relied upon to be durable on into old age, except for a few of them. But nobody knows who.
Yeah. I don't really care about Mixon.
Putting Travis Etienne, I feel like this is a little bit of a homer play by Maurice Jones-Drew. He has Etienne 14th.
Okay.
And I've not seen that out of Etienne yet.
Yeah.
He's had some flashes here. He did some nice things as a receiver versus the Texans last year. But I couldn't in good conscience put him above Joe Mixon or Aaron Jones or any of these other guys.
Yeah. Mixon at 21st. Now the funny thing to me about this list, cue up John Mara again, Ben. Guess who's 32 out of 32, Seth?
Saquon's?
No. Devin Singletary.
Oh, okay.
Replacement in New York is rated by Maurice Jones-Drew as the worst of the 32 starting running backs. Poor John.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
Okay. As far as Maurice Jones-Drew's list here.
Yeah.
Why are these NFL.com lists so bad sometimes?
What do you mean?
Or am I wrong in thinking that Nick Chubb is better than the 27th best running
back? That surprised me, too, because he's like top five in every other ranking I've seen this year. Is
just because he's coming off of injury?
Gotta be, right?
I guess.
Let me read the paragraph. Chubb has regularly positioned himself near the top of the charts. He ranks second in the NFL with 6,500 rushing yards since entering the league in 2018. And that's with losing last season to a knee injury he suffered in week two. How quickly can he return to elite form? Can Chubb help Cleveland's rushing attack get back to being one of the league's best? There are some unknowns here, which is why he's ranked so low in this space. So that's why.
I can't buy that.
27.
Especially, what was his injury, ACL?
Yeah.
It was without complications or anything,
right.
which, I understand that. But even if he was like not 100%, he's still way better than 20. Some of those 26 guys listed in front of him on this list.
He had an ACL in college and he got drafted and became one of the best running backs in football.
Wait, where's Joe Mixon? What number is he?
21.
21.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, Austin Eckler's 28th on here. Yeah. Austin Eckler just is not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even put him in that high. So
he's got Mixon. Right. He's got Mixon behind Pacheco and Gus Edwards and Kenneth Walker III, Najee Harris, who they didn't exercise the fifth-year option on, Rashad White. Mixon, someone show this list to Mixon so he can get angry about it, please. Sometime between now and September the 8th. Don't do it today. I don't want him to forget about it. Someone just hold it handy. If you're listening in the Texans building, we need you to show this list from Maurice Jones-Drew to Joe Mixon before the opener against the Colts. All right. Speaking of the Texans, we'll get you ready for this weekend. Players to watch this weekend, things you need to know this weekend about the game. We'll hear more from Aziz Alshire between now and the end of the show as well. That is coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. I'm getting fired up for this weekend, man. Brian McTaggart, MLB.com, covers the Astros beat. Astros are calling it. Now, I'll say this. Ari Alexander of KPRC2 was the first one I saw tweet this when I woke up this morning. But McTaggart tweeted this 20 minutes ago. Astros are calling up number 14 ranked prospect Shea Whitcomb. He has a 908 OPS with 25 homers, 26 steals, 91 RBIs in 413 at-bats at AAA Sugarland. Whitcomb can play all over the infield and has even had a few games at first base. Now, I'll say this. He can't be any worse at first base than Zach DiCenzo was the other night.
You keep DiCenzo's name out of your mouth if you're going to talk nonsense about future Golden Glover Zach
well,
DiCenzo.
Iron Glove right now.
Yeah.
Lead Glove Zach DiCenzo.
It's literally a metallic glove that he's playing with. Yes.
Yep. They've not announced it's not been reported what the corresponding move is going to be for this. So who knows what it is. Aledmys Diaz is really just sort of taking up space right now on this roster.
It's a fun name to say, I think, is probably.
He was fun to have around when he was good. He just doesn't he doesn't play. It's like he's there to be an actual real life statue as an homage to the 2022 World Series champions. Like,
yeah,
that's nice that you guys have a statue in the dugout paying tribute to the 2022 World Series champions, and they go up and they touch him, and he's like, hey, why are you doing that? Like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were the actual Aledmys Diaz. Why are you here? And he's like, I'm on the team. You are really? Really? Are you on the team? Are you sure? So that would seem logical to me that he's replacing Aledmys Diaz.
Yeah. It's other than that, look, you face the White Sox. I feel like this is a big test in terms of just let's have some intensity. Let's have some focus. Let's not play down to the opponent and recognize that even though the Mariners and the Rangers are completely pooping the bed, that's not enough. You gotta get some cushion here.
Yep.
If you want to just secure this division,
little day
the Rangers. The Rangers and the Broncos are the two teams I'm looking at.
You just said Broncos.
I know. Hold on a second.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The two teams, the two franchises that are like going to be the new Marlins, where they win a championship and then fall off the face of the earth.
I got you.
So like the Broncos won their championship in 2015.
Yes.
Haven't had a winning season since. Yeah. They're a non-factor. They are an afterthought. Likewise, the Rangers are plummeting from the sky after reaching the loftiest of level. Kudos to them for winning and everything. But it's just, it looks like a dark future ahead for them.
I think so too. We get some good pitching this weekend too, man. Arrigetti tonight, Hunter Brown tomorrow, and then Framber Valdez on Sunday for the Astros. So that'll be good, man. Astros and White Sox at Minute Maid Park. Good to have the Stros back in town. I say it's good to have the Stros back in town. They only seem to hit when they go on the road. How about hitting this weekend, Astros? How about doing that for a change at home? Texans this weekend. I laid out my guys I'm looking forward to watching. Do you have any in particular at the top of your list, Seth, that you're looking forward to honing in on this weekend in this Texans game?
I would say Christian Harris if I thought I was going to see it. Yeah. So there's that.
I'd like to see him walking. How's that? I'd like to see him with confirmation that both of his legs are still attached to his body.
Daniel Jones, I'm actually really excited to see. I need Daniel Jones in my life. I need Daniel Jones. I need... The Giants, without reading too much into preseason results or anything, and if I know Giants fans or any New York fan, they're calm and level-headed, so they won't overreact to this whatsoever. But I need Daniel Jones to be an absolute dumpster fire. I need him to get picked off three times in the first quarter. I just need that. I want to be able to come in on Monday and play New York talk radio for our listeners. Like, taste the tears. Go ahead and just nourish yourself on the tears of people who just still can't believe that the GM who spent the most money in the offseason to find out if the quarterback that he gave a huge contract is actually a good quarterback or not, that this is what he's offered up to them.
Yeah.
Yes, and I need that.
Okay, how about actual Houston Texans that you're looking forward to watching?
I'm looking forward to, or I'm watching with a keen interest, John Metchie. I'd like to see if it clicks for him. And then in the same boat, Damian Pierce.
Yeah.
I think that last year, one of the mistakes the Texans made early in the season was just sticking with Damian Pierce for far too long. I think they thought, okay, at some point maybe it'll click. All right, the offensive line isn't playing great. We'll make excuses for him and all of that. And then by the end of the season, you couldn't even play him in the games. It's been a very small sample size, obviously. He had 4 carries in the game the other night. Yep. Wasn't always his fault on some of those runs.
Yep.
But I want to see it. I need to see the proof in the pudding. If he's running behind the starting offensive line and the offensive line plays well, I need to see Damian Pierce just click in this system.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And I don't really need to see Joe Mixon. It would be fun to see Joe Mixon just running, you know, just seeing him in a Texans uniform doing things would be cool to see. But but they need to get a good look at Damian Pierce for sure. Kamari Lassiter is, I think, very high up a lot of people's lists for guys to watch this week. And this will be as much fanfare as Kamari Lassiter has had. He's been basically the starting cornerback the entirety of training camp so far. He's been getting a ton of love from D'Amico Ryans, from the team, from his teammates calling him a dog and everything else. This is actually the first time he's going against another team in real tackle football. So I'm looking forward to this.
Look, Kamari Lassiter is a guy that it's not hit the national media as a guy to watch or anything yet. I think it's largely been a local phenomenon just because he hasn't played in the preseason. There's nothing that he could do. He's a second round pick at cornerback where the best players tend to come in the first round. But this is like, I think that I'd like to see the proof in the pudding in this regard. We've seen him do really good things in practice. I just want to see him out there going versus the starters of the Giants, although Malik Nabers won't play. He got injured in week 1. But I want to see Kamari Lassiter play in the games the way we've seen him play out there at practice.
Yeah, yep. Azeez Al-Shaair, the linebacking group, I'm looking forward to seeing them. Azeez Al-Shaair had a press conference yesterday. He was really good. If he's someone they put at the podium throughout the season, this is going to be a good thing for Texan fans, I think. I like this one. Azeez Al-Shaair talking about tackling stats. He was one of the leaders in the league. Might have led the league in its entirety. He had over 160 tackles last year for the Titans.
There's some good and some bad about PFF, let's just say it like that. But the thing that you can take from it with so much analytics that we have now is that it'll tell you where these tackles are happening. If they're happening 15 yards down the field, and it's probably not too good. So, you know, you talk about whatever, last year I had 109 tackles that were all within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage. So I think when you talk about impactful, closer around the line of scrimmage usually is better than not. So, you know, I think obviously swarming to the ball, I'm going to get to the ball regardless of where the ball is, and that's just our mindset as a defense. But individually, I guess it can definitely get lost in translation of, you know, how the tackle was made. You got 15 tackles. And I remember Johnny Holland used to tell us, nobody looks and sees how'd you get each tackle. They just want to see how many tackles you had. So he just tells us, if you run to that ball and you end up on the pile and 3 different tackles, just 3 more to the stat sheet. So it works both ways for sure.
I love that, the Johnny Holland advice.
Yeah.
Hey, man, just go run and pile on, and you're going to pile up those tackle stats. That was fantastic.
That's and that is like part of D'Amico's. Yeah, that's the whole swarm philosophy. It's like, all right, man, you can. I'm trying to get comfortable with it. You can play that way and still also have good tackling technique, but the tackling technique isn't great on this team, or it wasn't last year. I think some of the philosophy is, as long as you've got guys swarming to the ball, you'd rather have guys come up and take big shots and jar the ball out, knowing that you got a safety net behind you rallying to the ball.
Yeah.
But there's room somewhere there in the middle, you know, where you can Ronnie Lott it. Ronnie, go back and a few years ago, I went back and I watched a bunch of old Ronnie Lott, because Ronnie Lott was known for the huge, devastating hits.
Yes.
The crazy thing was that most of those hits were actually legal in today's NFL. If you watch, it was a highlight reel of his 100 greatest hits. And I'd say the vast majority of them, because he's the first name that comes up whenever they change the tackling rules. Ronnie Lott couldn't play today. Like, no, he actually, a lot of the times, his huge hits were also could it, like, would have been good form tackles if the guy didn't go down immediately. Like, he was in position to wrap up and drive through and everything. So it's not like you have to sacrifice one for the other. And that would help a lot if they didn't miss as many tackles.
Yeah, big time, big time. Text message, Sean, I'm going to the Astros game Monday night. What's the best lot to park in? Okay, I wouldn't normally give out any secrets on the air because the last thing I want is for the places I park to get crowded with other people. But I'm going to reward the people that are here at 9:55. There are some really good, inexpensive lots along Preston, leading right up. Preston is the street that goes leads right in. If you were to drive down Preston and just keep going and plow into Minute Maid Park, you'd go right into the center field concourse out there. There's some really good lots out there for like 20 bucks. Yeah, no, I'm telling you guys too. I'm rewarding the people that are here at 9:55. There's some good lots. It's a short walk to the stadium. It's an easy walk to the stadium. You go right into an entrance. It's not a crowded entrance like the ones that are kind of over, you know, like facing 59 over there. So that's where Amy and I go. That's where we choose to park. So advice given.
A couple of years ago.
Good job telling every single person.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I gave people my secret path to NRG Stadium, which is fail-proof.
To get
to NRG without as much traffic.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And it blew up, and it hasn't gotten nuts. It's still good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still good.
Yeah, in a way, I'd like for those parking lots now to be jam packed because I mean, there's a lot of people listening and heeding my advice at 9:56.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
So this is the last day that you guys get to consummate your radio relationship in here. Now Figgy's going to be on the other side of the glass.
Oh, we that's going to be a segment.
Is it?
Okay. At 10:20, I kind of want you to play along and answer the questions as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I've got like...
I thought there was going to be like a ceremony at the end of the show where you boot Figgy out.
We, I mean,
like, there go are back way- to where you belong.
No, put him through the glass.
Yeah, throw him like Barkley style.
Yeah.
Throw him Barkley style.
Yeah.
No, these are questions like people are, tell me about yourself, which I hate.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I came up with some real questions. Like real questions
to
find out more about our new co-host.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to ask Figgy today.
Oh,
get his guesses.
Oh, okay.
Because Figgy has inside intel.
Okay.
And
so we're going to try to figure him out.
Figure him out, and then I'm going to ask him the exact same questions on Monday
and see how Figgy.
Let me
did.
Give you one of them.
Okay, let's hear it.
These are like finding out really about the dude.
Okay, I'm a little nervous.
Have you ever hooked up with a friend's ex?
Oh yeah.
And then Figgy don't answer what you think he will do, and it is a he. We'll give him that much. Have you?
Me?
Yeah.
Nah.
Answering for me. Am I answering?
No,
for...
no. I'm answer for yourself.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I was thinking about him,
Laura Britsky.
But me, I never college. Did that.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah.
I don't think she's listening. But
Seth is mysteriously quiet.
Yeah. How about you, Seth?
I don't think I have. I actually, one of my best friend's ex-girlfriends, asked me to go to like a weekend event once to escort her to this thing. And I was like a perfect gentleman the entire time.
Yeah. How dare you?
Oh, wait, no, I take it all back. I was a perfect gentleman that time, but no, I definitely totally hooked up with one of my friend's ex-girlfriends.
So, stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, we want to know the real
Are we going to judge him by any of this stuff, or are we just looking to know? Okay.
Of course.
Did you answer the question, John?
I mean, I will if you want
me to. Yeah, have you ever hooked up with a friend's ex?
What time is it? Because I want to know if she's in school. My wife.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. I thought you meant the ex. All right.
So I think that's probably an answer without giving an answer.
Yeah, I think you did. That's a good job. That's a good job by you. Okay, well, good. Well, you guys got a lot of stuff to get into, man.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be a Houstonian.
It's a great day to be alive.
It is a great day to be alive.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got Texans tomorrow, noon kick, 9 o'clock Texans countdown. Outside on the stage, just outside Bud Light Plaza. That'll be me and Seth. And then kickoff at noon. That'll be on Sports Radio 610 and 100.3 The Bull. And then Clint Sterner and I have postgame for you tomorrow. So, Seth, get ready, man. Fire up.
Let's do it.
Home
Let's
game
do it.
Tomorrow.
It's going to be a good one. It'll be Should a good be. Pregame show. We're going to fire you guys up. You're going to feel hot walking into the stadium. You'll feel even hotter after you walk past us.
Past our takes. That's right.
Yes, the hot takes.
It's going to be a hot
Daniel
one, too.
Jones is a... Dan, we're going to ruin Daniel Jones' That's career it. Tomorrow. Damn
Man,
it.
Listen More. To Seth. Not that you need them, but antibodies to you, my friend. My yeah. God. Yeah, listen to
No
that.
Antibodies to Daniel Jones. I hope he contracts something.
On that note,
it'll be wearing a mask.
Right. Contract this L. That's what it'll be.
We're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2 on Odyssey Station. Figgy Fig, John Lopez, Chris Santiago. It's new host Byron. Eve. Oh, it's Byron. Oh, I couldn't see the reflection in there. My bad. Yeah, it's okay.
It's all good.
I just talked to Byron like 3 minutes
yeah,
ago.
I know.
Oh, my God.
You know that guy you were just talking to?
Yeah, yeah. Muscle memory. All right, we're done. We're out of time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.